12. Go ahead and stand with me one more time so we can read God's word together. I've never been sorry. The longer that I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. Amen. Romans 12, we'll read just one verse tonight, verse and number 13, where we left off. Romans 12 and verse 13, read these words with me out loud. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Read the last phrase there, given to hospitality. Ready? Given to hospitality. I want to preach on that phrase tonight, Christian hospitality. Christian hospitality. Father, thank you once more for the privilege to be in your house. God, I pray that you'd put aside every distraction tonight. Thank you for the good singing, for the good playing of the music. Lord, I pray that you've been pleased with our worship, God. This is for you. All of this is for you. And it's all vain unless you help us. God, I pray that you'd touch my mind now and bless what I have studied from your word and feed your sheep tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight on Christian hospitality, or given to hospitality, as the Bible puts it here in verse number 13. I'm not going to go back as I oftentimes do, but most all of you know we've been in Romans 12 for some time now. And in verse number 9, beginning in verse 9, down to verse 21, we have been looking at the characteristics of the Christian life. We have been looking at those things that should describe our lives as Christians. Just to give you briefly what we've already looked at from verse 9 down to verse 13, we know that the Christian life should be characterized by love. We should love without hypocrisy, without dissimulation. The Christian life should be characterized by hate. We ought to love the things that God loves and hate the things God hates. We are to be cleaving or clinging to those things that are good. We ought to have brotherly love. We ought to be fervent in our spirits, serving God. We ought to be rejoicing in our hope. We ought to be patient through the troubles and the trials of our lives. And we ought to be persevering in prayer. And then in verse 13, we looked last week, we ought to be known as giving people. We ought to be distributing to the necessity of saints. So now tonight I want to look at another characteristic, another mark of being a Christian. If you're a Christian, say amen. So all of these ought to in some way describe your life, and they ought to be grown in your life. And one of these marks tonight we'll see in verse 13, another mark of being a true Christian is hospitality. Being given to hospitality. Now you know what that means, most all of you. We talk a lot about southern hospitality, you know, in comparison to northern hospitality, I guess. And so you understand what hospitality means. We know that hospitality has the idea of receiving somebody into your house or your life or your lodging place. And as you receive them into your house, you serve them. You attend their needs as a servant, or you entertain them. That is what it means to be hospitable. To show hospitality is a willingness to receive someone even into your own home and to serve them and attend unto their needs. Christians are to be known for our hospitality. We ought to be known for being given to hospitality. As the Bible puts it here, it says to be given to hospitality. Hospitality is to be a way of life for the Christian. Not simply an occasional thing. It is to be a very way of life for us. And it might surprise you to know tonight just how common the subject of hospitality is inside the New Testament. It's a very common theme. It's a very common subject. And it might surprise you to know just how important the subject of hospitality is in your life as a Christian. I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon on hospitality. For some of you, it seems quite silly, but I want you to know it is a great biblical theme, and it has more to do with the Christian life. It has more to do with your salvation than you know.
It has more to do with your eternal reward in heaven than you may know. So I want to preach on that tonight. Sadly, just like the gift of giving, most Christians are not known for being very giving or hospitable. That's a true stereotype, isn't it? Most Baptists are not known for being very giving or very hospitable. This is a shame to us. This is a shame to us if we're not known for that, and it is damaging to our cause, to the cause of Christ. And not only is it a shame, not only does it damage the cause of the church, but if we are not hospitable as Christians, we are actually sinning against God. The lack of hospitality in our lives is actually a sin against God. So I want to tonight simply, I want to teach you a little bit about what hospitality is and what the Scripture tells us about it. And I want to charge us tonight to focus on this area of our lives. If you are not living in a hospitable way, my charge to you tonight is deal with it at once. I mean this seriously. Get it out of the way. If you have a problem with being hospitable in a Christian way, as most of us do, then I want to encourage you tonight to do something about that. I had to do a serious checkup with myself as I began to study this, and I had to ask myself, am I truly a hospitable person as the Bible commands me to be? I want you to look at, I'm going to run briefly, quickly, Lord willing, through seven things tonight about Christian hospitality. I'm going to give you some simple things. It's sort of a topical message tonight. We're going to look at this topic of hospitality. I want you to notice several things. If you can write them down, you can. Number one, I want you to notice that hospitality is a part of Christian ministry. Hospitality is a part of the life of ministering. I want you to look back in Romans 12 and verse 6. Most of you will remember a while ago we studied here in verse number 6 about all the gifts that God gives the church. You remember there are in this chapter seven gifts that God gives to individual Christians, and it's our responsibility to use those gifts to help the body of Christ. We've looked at two of those specifically, the gift of preaching and the gift of giving. We looked last week at the gift of giving. Well, there is also in this list a gift of ministry. Look in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. I want you to understand, this is going to tie into the message in just a moment. One of the seven gifts that God has given to be used within His church is the gift of ministering. Not only preaching, not only teaching, not only giving, not only exhortation, but also the gift of ministering. Now let me take a time out. When most of us think of the word minister, we think of a pastor, right? A reverend, a pastor, a preacher, a minister. Let me be clear with you that it's okay to call a pastor a minister, but you don't have to be a pastor, you do not have to be a preacher to be a minister, right? A man, woman, boy, or girl alike may be a minister for the cause of Christ. The word minister literally means to serve or to attend to as a servant. So what God is saying is He's not only given the gift of preaching in the church, the gift of teaching and all these other gifts, but God has simply given the gift of ministering. Those in the church have a gift of serving. I believe that the gift of ministry is the broadest gift that God's given to His church. It's sort of like the gift of giving. We can all give in some way, money-wise, some more than others. Well, in the same way, I believe God's blessed us all with the gift of ministering in some way or some capacity. I think this is probably the broadest gift that God has given to His church. There are many ways that we can minister. There are many ways we can serve our church. There are many ways we can attend to our church as servants. Let me say this. You can be a minister without being a preacher. You can be a good minister without being a preacher. But you will not be a good preacher without being a minister. I know a lot of preachers that aren't really ministers. They do nothing to serve. They only like to preach. And God doesn't bless a preacher or a teacher who is not first a server and a minister. The Bible says those that will be chief among you should be as the servant. And so we understand that one of the gifts God's given our church is the gift of service. Now, I began to write down some things here. This is real practical stuff. I began to think about this afternoon all the different gifts of ministering that God's given to our church, just our church alone. Let me give you a few. Number one is the gift or the office of deacons. This is an interesting word study, and I'm not going to chase this rabbit too far, but I think it's important to know. The word ministry, right here in verse 7 of Romans 12. Listen, this comes from a Greek word, diakonia. Diakonia. You say, Revis, why are you saying the Greek? We don't know Greek. I don't know Greek either. But you might recognize it sounds a little bit like a word that we use, deacon. The word that we get our word minister, which means serving from, diakonia, is the same word we get deacon from. Why do I say that? Because deacon, the office of a deacon, is literally the office of ministering. It's the same thing. It's the office of serving. Look here in Acts chapter 6. We'll chase this rabbit and then we'll kill it and we'll come back. Acts chapter number 6. We're looking here at the gift of ministry. Ministry means to serve. It means to attend to things as a servant. That's what it means to minister. Minister comes from a Greek word, diakonia. Now, in chapter 6 of Acts, in verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, the Greeks against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily, what? Ministration. Ministration, that comes from that same word used in Romans 12 and verse 7, diakonia, to minister. In other words, that there was so much going on in the church was growing, that there was not enough people to minister to the widows, they were being neglected. Verse 2, then the 12 apostles called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and, what's that next word? Serve. If you look it up, Strong's Concordance, we're not talking about anything fancy. Strong's Concordance, that word serve comes from the same Greek word, diakonia, the same word used in verse 1 for ministration. It's used in Romans 12 and verse 7 for ministry, and it's used for the word deacon. Now look what they said. The preachers, the apostles said, look, we are taking so much time, we need all the time we can get to search the scriptures and preach. That is the main office of a pastor, is to preach the scripture. It's not that a pastor is not to visit or not to minister, but his primary job is to search the word of God, to delve into the scripture and to expound it and to preach it and to proclaim it. And his secondary job is then to minister. Well, the ministration was becoming too large, and so in verse in number 3, they said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that is where we have the first 7 deacons of Scripture. They came later to be known as deacons, the office of a deacon. We learn about that in 1 Timothy and several other areas. So how is the gift of ministry used in the church? Well, first of all, there are deacons. We have 3 deacons at our church, and they hold an office of serving. They hold an office of attending to the needs of the church and aiding the pastor in serving the church. Let me say this. And I'm about to kill the rabbit and we'll move on. It's interesting to me. There are great qualifications for being a pastor. Everyone knows about that, right? Husband of one wife, not a brawler, all that. Almost the exact same qualifications are given for a deacon. Do you know why? I believe that's because God places the same standard of holiness upon serving as he does pastoring. So someone who holds the office of a minister, a server, is held to just as high of a standard as a pastor. What are you saying? I'm saying that God takes seriously serving. You may not be qualified to serve in the office of a deacon, but all of us can serve. There are many who cannot serve in the office of a pastor, but you can still serve. I want you to know that your serving is as important to God as the preaching that I'm doing right now in this pulpit. God takes ministering to the needs of His church very seriously. Let me just add, I'm thankful for our deacons. I appreciate them, and we ought to reverence them. And we pray God would add unto us as He sees fit in our deaconship. Now, I want you to notice some other areas in our church. The deacons is one area of ministration. Number two, serving in Awana. That's a way that you can minister. These are opportunities to serve. The serving in Awana, serving in the clothes closet, is an opportunity in our church to minister to the needs of people, to help, to talk to them, to prepare for them the physical things they might need. Another example of ministry is going on visitation. We don't have a set time. If any of you would like to, we can help you to get started with visitation. That doesn't just mean door-to-door, knocking on strangers' doors, but oftentimes what's even more needed is checking up on an elderly person in our church, or checking up on a widow in our church, or checking up with someone who is sick, someone who is in the nursing home, someone who is hospitalized. All of these are great examples of what ministry looks like in the church, serving or attending to the needs of others as a servant. I was thinking, and you pray with me about this, I would love to go back into the nursing homes, maybe if the Lord would allow. And I would love for, if we do that, if God leads us, for there to be some people that would commit maybe once a month, once every few months, to come down to the nursing home just for an hour and just spend some time with some older folks. That is a great example of hospitality and serving. Serving could be, in our church, cooking a meal for a family suffering loss. Many of you made a meal for the Robinson family today. It could be helping or volunteering to help or to do a project around the church. That's ministry. It could be driving a bus. It could be chaperoning on a bus. All of these things and many other things are an example of ministering inside the church. And if you haven't noticed, if it wasn't for the ministering of the church, we wouldn't even be able to do the preaching of the church. I mean, honestly, that is all very key, and God holds a high standard. That's always been God's pattern, is to have those that care for the spiritual things of the church and the preaching, and those that care for the needs of the church also. In Nehemiah 11 and verse 6, back in the Old Testament days, during the temple days, there were priests that were ordained to do the spiritual service within the veil, but there were also those that had oversight of the outward business of the house of God. And that's a great example of what our role should look like. Our churches need willing and able ministers. If you're not ministering in some way, you ought to pray about, where can I minister in my capacity to my church? I believe that's an expectation. Baptist churches have way too many administrators, but not enough ministers. You caught that, right? We have a lot of administrators. Everybody cares to say what's wrong and what needs to be changed and what we need to start and what we need to do and how we need to spend our money and what the need is, but we need ministers, not administrators. So we need servers. And then another way of ministering is being given to hospitality. This is where we get back to our sermon here. Giving to hospitality. When we see in verse 13, we are to be given to hospitality, that is a subsection of ministering, if you will. Minister means to serve or to attend to as a servant. What does hospitality mean? It means to receive someone into your home and to serve them. So it is a type of ministering. And hospitality is something that Christians ought to be given to. This is a very common way of ministering in Bible times. They talk a lot about it in Scripture, being given to hospitality. In biblical times, Christians especially, a lot of times were persecuted to the point that they were homeless. Oftentimes they would be forced to wander for shelter, and those Christians that were fortunate enough to have a house, they were to be given to hospitality. They were to inconvenience themselves and to take in strangers even, if necessary, and to lodge them, to help them. Hotels or inns in those days, they were not common, they were not affordable, and they were not safe. That just wasn't an option for persecuted Christians. They had to open up their own homes. And many people did that in Paul's life. When Paul would travel, many people would take Paul into their homes and he would preach there. That was an example of hospitality. Let me say this. Our modern culture has put quite a damper on this Christian service, hasn't it? Well, first of all, there's not nearly the trouble, this same trouble within Christianity in our nation. We don't have that as much. But also, more than that, we like our privacy, right? We like our schedules. We like our comforts, our creature comforts, and we like our habits, don't we? And there's a big problem with hospitality, real Christian hospitality. There's a problem with that. It takes away from our privacy, from our schedules, from our creature comforts, and from our habits. Is that right? That's pretty good preaching, if I say so myself. I mean, I could preach on alcohol tonight. We could get a lot of amens, but if we preach on hospitality, we get a lot of oh no's. I mean, that's something we all really deal with, something I deal with. That's an American problem. I think that God needs to help us to give up some of these idols of ours and to be willing to reach out and take in those less fortunate and to be hospitable. Something else, we're also often afraid of being taken advantage of. And there's plenty of people that will take advantage of hospitality. Should we use common sense? Yes. But listen, you cannot be so afraid of being taken advantage of that you refuse to help anybody that truly needs it. God expects this of us. 1 Timothy 5:10, a spiritual woman, this is talking about women, a spiritual woman is marked by hospitality to strangers. Maybe you women ought to say and compare yourselves, read that portion of scripture when you get home. A spiritual woman is one that has lodged strangers. Is this a mark in my life? Do I have a willingness to comply to this, to help? Maybe not to take someone into my home. I mean, I understand if you can afford to put them in a hotel, you would do that before you take them in if you had to, for their sake and yours. But just simply reaching out and being hospitable in other ways, is that something a part of my life? Let me show you this. In 1 Timothy 3:2 and in Titus 1:18. Both of these verses give us a list of qualifications for the pastorate. And did you know on both of those lists, a qualification for a pastor, he must be given to hospitality. I believe a deacon, that is expected as a part of his title, but his wife is to be given to hospitality. So let me say this, what God expects from every Christian, he demands of the pastor. What God expects from every Christian, he demands from the pastor. God demands pastors to be given to hospitality because he expects all of us to follow a pastor's example and to be given to hospitality. God expects it. In Hebrews 13:2, we are to not be forgetful to entertain strangers even. So, hospitality is a part of Christian ministry. We're gonna get faster here. You ready? You better hold on tight. Number two, hospitality is a great evidence of our salvation. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Please understand, this is not a trivial issue that I'm talking about tonight. This isn't just something to put in the back of your mind and leave it there. I expect us to put it in the forefront of our minds. This is a huge deal. Hospitality is a great evidence of our salvation. Matthew 25, I want you to look in verse 35. There's so much background and context here I cannot get into, but I'll try to stick to the main point. It says, there's coming a day that Christ is going to come again, the second coming. He's going to come at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. He's going to abolish his enemies, And all the nations of the earth at the end of the tribulation are going to stand before him in judgment. We call this the judgment of the sheep and the judgment of the goats. And he is going to separate the goats from the sheep. And what he's going to do is those that are the sheep are going to be accepted into his kingdom. And those that are not, those that are the goats, are going to be judged. And from what I understand it, you could correct me if I'm wrong, they will be punished on the spot and will receive damnation. And so he said in verse 34, notice how he charges and how he judges the hearts of men. He said, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For why I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in." What is that? Hospitality. He said, "Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So what is going on here? Christ is revealing the hearts of men, whether they're saved or lost. Men are saved the same way all through history, by faith. I believe even in the tribulation, you'll be saved by faith in Christ. What he is not teaching is a works-based salvation. Jesus is not saying, because you were hospitable, I'm going to let you in. Instead, here is what he is doing. What he is saying is that their hospitality towards his people is a mark or an evidence of their salvation. What he's doing here is showing the importance of hospitality. Hospitality is a telltale sign. It is a telltale mark that you're truly saved. That's how serious it is. Your love for the brethren. There's going to be many Christians that will be persecuted during the time of the tribulation like no other time in history. And God is going to be looking at all those that will help them and all those that refuse to help them. And that is the mark whether they are Christians themselves or not. And God is able to judge them based upon that. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever viewed Christian love and hospitality in your life as being that essential evidence that you're saved? Do I have that in my heart? Here's what I believe he's trying to get at. Christian hospitality is not an optional service. It is a basic characteristic of being a Christian. I don't know about you, but when I read that, it smacked me in the face like a brick. Because I thought, God takes that very seriously. Right? God takes that very seriously. Is that an evident mark of my life? It is a great evidence of our salvation. Number three, let me say this. Hospitality ought to be carried out with a right attitude. He says in Romans 12, verse 13, we are to be given to it. You ever met someone that was hospitable outwardly, but you could tell by their attitude they did not want to do what they were doing? Right? You ever had somebody over? Please do not say anything out loud. Have you ever had someone over, but you really didn't want to have them over? And you do the motions, you feed them the meal, you talk the talk, and you're ready and counting down the seconds for them to get out of there. Right? That's not being given to hospitality. Although I do understand, I do relate, especially if it's someone that you have a hard time with. But let me say that is not to be how that Christians ought to be treating hospitality, right? That's not how we are to be serving. God is as concerned with our attitude as he is our action. He wants us not only to give, but to give with a cheerful heart. And he wants us to be hospitable to those less fortunate than us, and especially lesser Christians than us, but we must do it with the right attitude. He said, be given to it, as opposed to doing it while complaining and harboring resentment and doing it grudgingly. We ought to be given to it. We ought to be pursuing it. We ought to be following after that. In other words, a Christian not only takes the opportunity to be hospitable when it arises, but a Christian seeks after opportunities. Right? It's a difference between taking opportunities that are given and seeking after them. He said, be given to it. Some of us are really good dodgers. Some of us will say, I will be hospitable if the opportunity arises, and we make very sure that we never find an opportunity. Right? I mean, we can be really good about that. God, if I cross that person at Kroger, I'll reach out to them. And so you check every aisle, so you make sure that you don't, right? It's very easy to evade that, but as Christians, our attitude ought to be that of doing it gladly, seeking after opportunity to be hospitable, to be giving, to be ministering and serving. In Luke 14, verses 12 through 14, Jesus tells the Pharisees, when you have a feast, do not invite those that are rich that could invite you to their feast. Invite the poor, those that cannot repay you. You ought to be hospitable gladly. You ought to be seeking that out in your life. I'll give you this. We'll move forward. 2 Timothy 1:16 through 18. I won't even read it. You write it down and you read it later tonight. Number four, Christian hospitality has a great reward. There is a great reward for Christian hospitality. Look in Matthew 10 and verse 40. Matthew 10 and verse 40. When Jesus sent out his disciples to witness for him, he sent them with his authority to tell people about his kingdom. And this is what he said in verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now notice, he's not just talking about receiving your message. He's actually talking about receiving you into their dwelling place. You remember when he told the disciples, do not take two garments with you. Don't take anything but what you have. And when you go to a city, if someone will lodge you, then you bless them and you go on. If they don't lodge you, then you shake the dust from your feet and you keep going. He's talking about people that would receive them in hospitality. And he said, if they receive you, they receive me. It is as if they were receiving Christ into their home when they receive you, because you're sent from me. If they receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, they receive a prophet's reward. If they receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, they receive a righteous man's reward. What does that mean? They get the same reward that you'll get when you get to heaven. They'll get the same reward that you get. So understand this. We may look at the missionary. We may look at the pastor. We may look at the preacher. We may look at the evangelist. And we may say, oh my, what a great gift that God will give them when they get to heaven. What a great reward. What a great crown. But you need to understand that God has promised that those that will receive them and be hospitable and help are fellow partakers and fellow helpers in the truth. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, and you receive the same reward that I may, or that an evangelist may, or a missionary may, or the disciples, the apostles may. There is a great reward for doing it. He said, look in Matthew 10, verse 42. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones, that means a new believer, just an insignificant Christian, if you'll give them a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Christian hospitality pays. There is a great reward. In Hebrews 13:2, most of you know this verse. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some, having done so, have entertained angels unaware. Those that have been hospitable, in other words, what is that? What's the gist of that? They've received angels unaware. I believe the point of that is when you act in Christian hospitality, you may never know how important or how far-reaching that your simple act of helpfulness may be. You have no idea how far that may go. In the book of Genesis 18, Abraham saw three men passing his way, and he sought them out and invited them to dwell and feed them. Turns out it was two angels and the Lord himself. He entertained angels unaware. And we may never know what great things we may do for the kingdom of God when we truly have a hospitable spirit about us. Let me give you the last thing. We'll close. Notice our great example for Christian hospitality. Anything good, the best example of anything good is Christ. Always. Christ is the goodness of God incarnate. We've looked at three gifts so far. And I hope to, Lord willing, look at the rest as God allows. We've looked at the gift of preaching. Who is the best preacher to ever walk the earth? Christ. We've looked at the gift of giving. Who is the best example of a giver in history? It's Christ. He became poor for our sakes that we might become rich through him. And who is the best example of a hospitable minister? That's Christ. What does it say in Matthew? The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, diakonia, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. What did he say in Matthew? He also said this, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, come unto me and I will give you rest. What is that? That's hospitality, isn't it? Those of you that are weary and footsore, those of you that are poor and strangers, those of you that are insignificant, you come unto me and I will receive you into myself and I will give you rest. I will attend to your needs. That is hospitality, the goodness of Christ. What did he say in 1 John? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and do what? Receive you unto myself, hospitality, that where I am, there you may be also. You know the greatest example of lodging a stranger and being hospitable is Christ taking us in, who were strangers and aliens from the covenants of God. And one day God's going to receive us into glory, and we're going to be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be like Mephibosheth at the table of David. And Christ himself, as we sang about in that song, Holy Manna, Christ himself is going to gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Aren't you glad that Christ inconvenienced himself to help you? Should we not be that same way? Can I just charge you tonight to search your heart and make sure this is a spirit and attitude that you have in your life? And understand this, grudging, complaining, murmuring will cancel every reward that outward hospitality may give you. Search your heart tonight. Simple truths. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Musicians are coming, Brother David. These are the sins that we have so much trouble with. Not the sins usually of modesty or the sins of drunkenness or the sins of drugs, the sins of adultery or fornication. But for most of us, it's these sins that are our ailing sins. Just lack of love, lack of care. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how about you just come to the altar tonight? Ask God to help you to be what you ought to be for him. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live this out. Lord, our church can use all the ministers that we can get. Lord, help us to be going about as servants, tending to the needs, the necessities of the saints and strangers, reaching out in love. God, we pray for the Robinson family tonight. May you touch them. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us?